Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way. How they had come to recognize him in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the seventh day of the novena, that we're saying, of Divine Mercy. And today we pray, "Today bring to me the souls who especially venerate and glorify my mercy, and immerse them in my mercy." So I'd like to talk about that today. And to mention three ways that we can venerate and glorify God's mercy. First is, hopefully all of you have the image of divine mercy in your homes. Do you? I hope you have the image the size of that one behind me, though. Maybe not, but see if you can. Nice big image. Now, do you have an image of divine mercy in a prominent place, or is it in your cellar or your garage or up in the attic with your grandmother's photo album? Hopefully you have it in a prominent place. They're very important, a prominent place. And I would suggest that it be in the front door, okay, right on the wall. As soon as someone enters the front door, the front door, the first thing they're going to see is that big image. Amen? Good idea? It's not a good idea, it's an excellent idea. We speak through human words, but also through symbols. Like if I'm to give you my hand, Joe or Patricia, friendship. If you kiss your wife, it's a symbol of love. If you raise the flag with the 50 stars, that's the virtue of patriotism. Yeah. These are our symbolic gestures. You'd be surprised how much communication goes on by means of symbols. No? What would happen if I look at all of you and I did this? Not a very good symbol, is it, huh? It's a symbol of anger. So you think about, if you have that image, that prominent image, enthroned in your home, what are people going to do when they walk through the door? Hopefully it's that big, that size. It's about the size of Jesus. According to Shroud, Jesus was 5'11". Did you hear that? 5'11", almost 6 feet. Most people were about 5'5". So Jesus was taller. He was about 6 inches taller than most people back 2,000 years ago where we live. Okay? And that's about the size, the physical size of Christ. So let's talk about that. Well, okay, what would happen if someone comes into your house and the person is a non-believer? What's he going to do? He's going to walk in the door, you open up the door, welcome, he lifts up his eyes, ah! A little common sense now. What's the first question that your guest is going to ask? Hello, anyone home? I think you're going to say, well, that's an interesting painting. Who is that? Then you can enter in and you can give a 35-minute catechesis on it. Yeah! Yeah, you asked for it, I'm going to give it to you. And that person, even though maybe he's a pagan, he's going to leave your home blessed by the image. Amen? Amen? We're not Jehovah Witnesses, are we? We're not iconoclasts. We're not Arians or Catholics. We believe in the use of images. The image is powerful. This is a miraculous image. Here in our church, we have the three most famous images in the history of Catholicism. You know what they are? Hello? Our Lady Guadalupe, the most famous. Divine Mercy, number 2, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, number 3. The three most famous images in the history of Catholicism you have in St. Peter Chanel. Amen? Don't you feel proud? You should. Our Lady Guadalupe, the patron of the Americas. Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart. So honoring Divine Mercy. I'm going to tell you one short story, a story of a miracle. About 6 years ago, I drove up to a house in in Monrovia, Rasusa up there, and there was a man that was dying. And I went to his house to talk to him. And when I went into his house with his brother and his sister-in-law, dressed as a priest, I invited him to go to confession and receive the sacraments. And immediately what he did was, and he doesn't speak Spanish, he put on the TV in Spanish, no? Talk about trying to avoid the conversation, no? Then I told his brother and sister-in-law to leave the house so I could be alone with him. And I pulled out of my pocket that small image of Divine Mercy. He looked at it and he said he was ready to go to confession. He went to confession. He received communion. He received the anointing of the sick. In 24 hours after that, he died. That was the power of God's presence through the image of Divine Mercy. So hopefully all of you today can fall in love with Divine Mercy and be ardent apostles to preach from the rooftop that Jesus Christ is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to go to heaven. So that's your mission. Starting today, all of you are going to be apostles of Divine Mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.